The Great Chapter, Part 1, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Followed by ear. Mendicants, you can expect 4 benefits when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. What for? Take a mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They followed those teachings by ear, reinforced them by recitation, examined them by the mind, and well comprehended them theoretically. But they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. Being happy there, passages of the teaching come back to them. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. This is the first benefit you can expect when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. Take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They followed those teachings by ear, reinforced them by recitation, examined them by the mind, and well comprehended them theoretically. But they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. Though they're happy there, passages of the teaching don't come back to them. However, a mendicant with psychic powers, who has achieved mastery of the mind, teaches Dhamma to the assembly of gods. They think, I used to lead the spiritual life in this same teaching and training. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. Suppose a person was skilled in the sound of drums. While travelling along a road, they hear the sound of drums. They wouldn't have any doubts or uncertainties about whether that was the sound of drums or not. They'd just conclude, that's the sound of drums. In the same way, take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, but they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. This is the second benefit you can expect when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. Take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They followed those teachings by ear, reinforced them by recitation, examined them by the mind, and well comprehended them theoretically. But they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. But passages of the teaching don't come back to them when they're happy, nor does a mendicant with psychic powers teach Dhamma to the assembly of gods. However, a god teaches Dhamma to the assembly of gods. They think, I used to lead the spiritual life in this same teaching and training. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. Suppose a person was skilled in the sound of horns. While travelling along a road, they hear the sound of horns. They wouldn't have any doubt about whether that was the sound of horns or not. They'd just conclude, that's the sound of horns. In the same way, take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, but they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. This is the third benefit you can expect when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. Take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They followed those teachings by ear, reinforced them by recitation, examined them by the mind, and well comprehended them theoretically. But they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. But passages of the teaching don't come back to them when they're happy, and neither a mendicant with psychic powers nor a god teaches Dhamma to the assembly of gods. But a being who has been reborn spontaneously reminds another such being, "Do you remember, good sir? Do you remember where we used to lead the spiritual life?" He says, "I remember, good sir, I remember." Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. Suppose there were two friends who had played together in the sand. Some time or other they'd meet, and one friend would say to the other, "Do you remember this friend? Do you remember that friend?" They'd say, "I remember, friend, I remember." In the same way, take another mendicant who memorizes the teaching, but they die unmindful and are reborn in one of the orders of gods. Memory comes up slowly, but then that being quickly reaches distinction. This is the fourth benefit you can expect when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. You can expect these four benefits when the teachings have been followed by ear, reinforced by recitation, examined by the mind, and well comprehended theoretically. Facts. Mendicants, these four things can be known in four situations. What for? You can get to know a person's ethics by living with them, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's purity by dealing with them, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's resilience in times of trouble, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's wisdom by discussion, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's ethics by living with them, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Take a person who's living with someone else. They come to know, for a long time this venerable's deeds have been broken, tainted, spotty, and marred. Their deeds and behaviour are inconsistent. This venerable is unethical, not ethical. Take another person who's living with someone else. They've come to know, for a long time this venerable's deeds have been unbroken, impeccable, spotless, and unmarred. Their deeds and behaviour are consistent. This venerable is ethical, not unethical. That's why I said that you can get to know a person's ethics by living with them, but only after a long time, not a short time, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's purity by dealing with them, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Take a person who has dealings with someone else. They come to know, this venerable deals with one person in one way. Then they deal with two, three, or many people, each in different ways. They're not consistent from one deal to the next. This venerable's teachings are impure, not pure. Take another person who has dealings with someone else. They come to know, this venerable deals with one person in one way. Then they deal with two, three, or many people, each in the same way. They're consistent from one deal to the next. This venerable's dealings are pure, not impure. That's why I said that you can get to know a person's purity by dealing with them, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's resilience in times of trouble, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Take a person who experiences loss of family, wealth, or health, but they don't reflect, the world's like that, reincarnation's like that. That's why the eight worldly conditions revolve around the world, and the world revolves around the eight worldly conditions. Gain and loss, fame and disgrace, praise and blame, pleasure and pain. They sorrow and wail and lament, beating their breast and falling into confusion. Take another person who experiences loss of family, wealth or health, but they reflect, the world's like that, reincarnation's like that. That's why the eight worldly conditions revolve around the world, and the world revolves around the eight worldly conditions, gain and loss, fame and disgrace, praise and blame, pleasure and pain. They don't sorrow or wail or lament, beating their breast and falling into confusion. That's why I said that you can get to know a person's resilience in times of trouble, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. You can get to know a person's wisdom by discussion, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, but why did I say it? Take a person who is discussing with someone else. They come to know, judging by this venerable's approach, by what they're getting at, and by how they discuss a question, they're witless, not wise. Why is that? This venerable does not utter a deep and meaningful saying that is peaceful, sublime, beyond the scope of logic, subtle, comprehensible to the astute. When this venerable speaks on Dhamma, they're not able to explain the meaning, either briefly or in detail. They can't teach it, assert it, establish it, clarify it, analyze it, or reveal it. This venerable is witless, not wise. Suppose a person with good eyesight was standing on the bank of a lake. They'd see a little fish rising and think, judging by this fish's approach, by the ripples it makes and by its force, it's a little fish, not a big one. In the same way, a person who is discussing with someone else would come to know, judging by this venerable's approach, by what they're getting at, and by how they discuss a question, they're witless, not wise. Take another person who is discussing with someone else. They come to know, judging by this venerable's approach, by what they're getting at, and by how they discuss a question, they're wise, not witless. Why is that? This venerable utters a deep and meaningful saying that is peaceful, sublime, beyond the scope of logic, subtle, comprehensible to the astute. When this venerable speaks on Dhamma, they're able to explain the meaning, either briefly or in detail. They teach it, assert it, establish it, clarify it, analyze it, and reveal it. This venerable is wise, not witless. Suppose a man with good eyesight was standing on the bank of a lake. He'd see a big fish rising and think, judging by this fish's approach, by the ripples it makes, and by its force, it's a big fish, not a little one. In the same way, a person who is discussing with someone else would come to know, judging by this venerable's approach, by what they're getting at, and by how they articulate a question, they're wise, not witless. That's why I said that you can get to know a person's wisdom by discussion, but only after a long time, not casually, only when paying attention, not when inattentive, and only by the wise, not the witless. These are the four things that can be known in four situations. With Badiya. At one time the Buddha was staying near Vesali, at the great wood, in the hall with the peaked roof. Then Badiya the Lichavi went up to the Buddha bowed, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Sir, I have heard this. The ascetic Gotama is a magician. He knows a conversion magic and uses it to convert the disciples of those who follow other paths. I trust that those who say this repeat what the Buddha has said and do not misrepresent him with an untruth. Is their explanation in line with the teaching? Are there any legitimate grounds for rebuke and criticism?" "Please, Bhadeya, don't go by oral transmission. Don't go by lineage. Don't go by testament. Don't go by canonical authority. Don't rely on logic. Don't rely on inference. Don't go by reasoned contemplation. Don't go by the acceptance of a view after consideration. Don't go by the appearance of competence. And don't think, 'The ascetic is our respected teacher.' But when you know for yourselves these things are unskillful, blameworthy, criticized by sensible people, and when you undertake them, they lead to harm and suffering, then you should give them up. What do you think, Bhadeya? Does greed come up in a person for their welfare or harm?"
"Harm, sir."
"A greedy individual, overcome by greed, kills living creatures, steals, commits adultery, lies, and encourages others to do the same. Is that for their lasting harm and suffering?"
"Yes, sir."
"What do you think, Bhadeya? Does hate come up in a person for their welfare or harm?"
"Harm, sir."
"A hateful individual, overcome by hatred, kills living creatures, steals, commits adultery, lies, and encourages others to do the same. Is that for their lasting harm and suffering?"
"Yes, sir."
"What do you think, Bhadeya? Does delusion come up in a person for their welfare or harm?"
"Harm, sir."
"A deluded individual, overcome by delusion, kills living creatures, steals, commits adultery, lies, and encourages others to do the same. Is that for their lasting harm and suffering?"
"Yes, sir."
"What do you think, Bhadeya? Does aggression come up in a person for their welfare or harm?"
"Harm, sir."
"An aggressive individual kills living creatures, steals, commits adultery, lies, and encourages others to do the same. Is that for their lasting harm and suffering?"
"Yes, sir."
"What do you think, Bhadeya? Are these things skillful or unskillful?"
"Unskillful, sir."
"Blameworthy or blameless?"
"Blameworthy, sir."
"Criticized or praised by sensible people?"
"Criticized by sensible people, sir."
"When you undertake them, do they lead to harm and suffering or not? Or how do you see this?"
"When you undertake them, they lead to harm and suffering. That's how we see it."
"So, Bhadeya, when we said, 'Please, Bhadeya, don't go by oral transmission, don't go by lineage, don't go by testament, don't go by canonical authority, don't rely on logic, don't rely on inference, don't go by reasoned contemplation, don't go by the acceptance of a view after consideration, don't go by the appearance of competence, and don't think, 'The ascetic is our respected teacher.' But when you know for yourselves these things are unskillful, blameworthy, criticized by sensible people, and when you undertake them, they lead to harm and suffering, then you should give them up. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. Please, Bhadeya, don't rely on oral transmission. Don't go by lineage. Don't go by testament. Don't go by canonical authority. Don't rely on logic. Don't rely on inference. Don't go by reasoned contemplation. Don't go by the acceptance of a view after consideration. Don't go by the appearance of competence. And don't think, 'The ascetic is our respected teacher.' But when you know for yourselves these things are skillful, blameless, praised by sensible people, and when you undertake them, they lead to welfare and happiness, then you should acquire them and keep them. What do you think, Bhadeya? Does contentment come up in a person for their welfare or harm?"
"Welfare, sir."
"An individual who is content, not overcome by greed, doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit adultery, lie, or encourage others to do the same, is that for their lasting welfare and happiness?"
Yes, sir.
Does love come up in a person for their welfare or harm?
Welfare, sir.
An individual who is loving, not overcome by hatred, doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit adultery, lie, or encourage others to do the same. Is that for their lasting welfare and happiness?
Yes, sir.
Does understanding come up in a person for their welfare or harm?
Welfare, sir.
An individual who is understanding, not overcome by delusion, doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit adultery, lie, or encourage others to do the same. Is that for their lasting welfare and happiness?
Yes, sir.
Does benevolence come up in a person for their welfare or harm?
Welfare, sir.
An individual who is benevolent, not overcome by aggression, doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit adultery, lie, or encourage others to do the same. Is that for their lasting welfare and happiness?
Yes, sir.
What do you think, Badia? Are these things skillful or unskillful?
Skillful, sir.
Blameworthy or blameless?
Blameless, sir.
Criticized or praised by sensible people?
Praised by sensible people, sir.
When you undertake them, do they lead to welfare and happiness or not? Or how do you see this?
When you undertake them, they lead to welfare and happiness. That's how we see it.
So, Badia, when we said, please, Badia, don't go by oral transmission, don't go by lineage, don't go by testament, don't go by canonical authority, don't rely on logic, don't rely on inference, don't go by reasoned contemplation, don't go by the acceptance of a view after consideration, don't go by the appearance of competence, and don't think, the ascetic is our respected teacher. But when you know for yourselves, these things are skillful, blameless, praised by sensible people, and when you undertake them, they lead to welfare and happiness, then you should acquire them and keep them. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. The good people in the world encourage their disciples, please, Mister, live rid of greed. Then you won't act out of greed by way of body, speech, or mind. Live rid of hate. Then you won't act out of hatred by way of body, speech, or mind. Live rid of delusion. Then you won't act out of delusion by way of body, speech, or mind. Live rid of aggression. Then you won't act out of aggression by way of body, speech, or mind. When he said this, Badia the Lichavi said to the Buddha, excellent sir, from this day forth may the Buddha remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge for life. Well, Badia, did I say to you, please, Badia, be my disciple, and I will be your teacher?
No, sir.
Though I speak and explain like this, certain ascetics and Brahmins misrepresent me with a false, hollow, lying, untruthful claim. The ascetic Gotama is a magician. He knows a conversion magic and uses it to convert the disciples of those who follow other paths.
Sir, this conversion magic is excellent. This conversion magic is lovely. If my loved ones, relatives and kin, were to be converted by this, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If all the aristocrats, Brahmins, merchants and workers were to be converted by this, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness.
That's so true, Badia. That's so true, Badia. If all the aristocrats, Brahmins, merchants and workers were to be converted by this, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If the whole world, with its gods, Maras and Brahmas, this population, with its ascetics and Brahmins, gods and humans, were to be converted by this, for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If these great sal trees were to be converted by this, for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness, if they were sentient. How much more, then, a human being?